Friday, ladies and gentlemen. We are essentially 2 weeks away from HR Tech, which for a lot of folks in the industry, practitioners and consultants and analysts and vendors, it's the countdown. It's all the lofty goals and ambitions and the stuff that you talked about a couple months ago. Now it's the moment where all of that comes, the chaos comes. It's either going to get clear or it's all going to fall apart. So we're talking, Nisha and I are joined by one of our absolute favorites in the space. We're going to be talking about all kinds of good stuff, but we'll probably be talking about HR Tech as well. Madeline, how are you doing?
I'm good, William. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, thanks for carving out a little time for us. I know that your schedule is swamped as we lead up. So if you don't mind, do us a favor and tell folks, introduce yourself. Tell folks a little bit about you.
Yeah, so hi, my name is Madeline Morano, and I am a VP and Principal Analyst at the Brandon Hall Group, where I cover talent acquisition, but I also cover a lot of areas of talent management. I've been an analyst in the space for about 10 years, which is frightening, and have worked for some great companies, and I've seen all the evolution and all the changes, so it's exciting.
Well, let's do, because you get to interact with practitioners as you're doing your research and things of that nature, mm-hmm. and you get to interact with vendors. So let's do the three-pronged what's keeping them up at night. So you, your practitioner friends, what's keeping them up at night, and your vendor friends and compadres, what do you think is keeping them up at night?
Yeah, it's interesting. It doesn't always match up, right?
Right.
But when we talk to practitioners and conversations I have when I travel and with our member community, engagement's always the top question. People always want to know about engagement. They want to know what they can do outside of just your employee engagement, employee satisfaction surveys. And they don't always know what their options are. So it's always a top question. And it's surprising because it's something we just talked about for so long and it's still always number one. Talent acquisition is a top priority. And I think companies that weren't focused on it for so long or just did a very ad hoc approach to it now are thinking a little bit more strategically and making some big investments in technology. So recruitment's always interesting. And then the third one I would say is analytics. And I think, you know, practitioners always have questions about it. They don't necessarily want to really talk about it. It's sort of still, I think, a scary topic for a lot of companies, but it's important. And they know that that's what's going to make them a little bit more strategic in their roles.
So on the analyst side, I got to ask mm-hmm. the question because I don't know if everyone really knows what an analyst does, especially at a major trade show like HR Tech. Give us some insight into what your weeks kind of look like rolling up to it, and then more specifically at show. Like what's your, you know, the typical Wednesday, Thursday bid. What's your day look like at HR Tech?
Yeah, so leading up to it, it's surprising. There's always a lot of events right before HR Tech with a lot of the same companies that we'll meet. So it could be customer events or analyst days. So I've been on the road a little bit the past few weeks, and now I'm kind of going to take a little bit of a break. And just preparing, getting ready for meetings, the scheduling is always interesting, getting all the schedules together and making sure that you're meeting with everyone. But when we're at the conference, typically it's a lot of meetings. It's a lot of meetings with solution providers. I like to meet with a lot of startups to see what's cool, what they're working on. I also meet with some more established traditional providers. It's a lot of going to sessions. Hopefully I'll get to do more of that this year. And it was a great agenda. You know, Steve did a good job putting together an extra track. So there's some good sessions. I really want to make sure that I carve out the time and can attend some of those. And then there's the parties at night. So it's going to dinners, going to parties, and you know, trying to keep it all together.
How do you hold it together for about 4 days? So you, with with being in a space, I remember when you were at ERE years and years and years. You know, you're only 25, so this is me when you're 15.
Oh, you're so nice.
So,
I'm going to buy you dinner, Space Artek.
So with everyone knowing you, can you actually walk through the expo hall, or do you find it? First of all, can you carve out a couple hours to walk through the expo hall? So give us an idea of what the expo hall looks like for you.
Yeah, it's the expo hall is amazing. It's huge. There's so many providers, but my secret is really that I'm blind, so I don't wear my glasses when I walk the expo hall. So it's really if I know where I'm going, I can just make it there. yeah. So I can, you know, sometimes avoid kind of getting stopped and stopping people. But it's great the expo hall to me is a big catch up. You get to see companies that, you know, I haven't seen in years. A lot of people move around, so it's finding out what new and exciting things that they're doing and where they're working and what's going on. So, yeah, I always find new companies, too, when I walk the expo hall that I wouldn't meet with necessarily in the press room or wouldn't see on the agenda. So the expo hall is amazing.
Yeah, I tell my practitioner friends the same bit, is if you can get to the expo hall and carve out a couple of hours, it's a one-stop shop. You can literally walk the hall, see 350 vendors in one, 5-hour stretch, and you can really kind of, if you're into succession planning, there's going to be at least 10 different companies that tackle that. If you're, and so whatever you're shopping for, it really is kind of a Walmart-esque type of shopping experience. Whatever you're in the mood for, or if you just don't know, like, I don't really know what we should be focusing on, I've had people go booth to booth and just go, tell me what you do. And yeah. Now it took them 2 days to do that. But what they learned is they learned the things that they should be looking at for that next year and things of that nature. So my trick on the expo hall, and we won't tell anybody this trick, but my trick on the expo hall is to go when only the exhibitors are in there. So I get one of my exhibitor friends to actually bring me in.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And I'll walk the entire, it's like walking a museum when no one's there, right? So I'll walk the entire expo hall without traffic. And I find for me that's it's an hour and a half of walking the aisles and looking at how people are marketing and what the messages are without all the traffic. So that's my trick.
That's a good one.
And I'll stick to it until they, turn that off for me. So what's the prep? We skipped past that just a little bit. Your prep for the sessions and your prep for the meetings, like give the audience some insight into what's a briefing look like? What's your time with a vendor or a service provider? What does that look like? What are you trying to get out of the 30 minutes or 40 minutes or an hour or whatever time that you spend with folks?
Yeah, that's a good question. I always do my research before a meeting with people to make sure I know what their latest announcements are. Who's on their leadership team, what companies they've acquired in the past year or so. So it's doing a little bit of research there, but I always, kind of listen to the briefing and what the new announcements that they're, going to be talking about during the show are. Typically the briefings are pretty informal, but I always ask, and I've done this probably for the past 6 years, the three main announcements that they've had in the past year or that they'll have in the next year, the three big things that they're focused on. And I write all of those down and I kind of do a summary both internally and then, I usually do a blog post on that. So it's, and then you can find out too, if a company isn't able to tell you three things that they're focused on in the past year or even that they're focusing on in the next year, I think that says something.
And with Brendan Hall, y'all will probably have 6 or 7 people there, I'm assuming. Do y'all try to cover the entire space? And so, or do you have duplicate? Do you find yourselves having duplicate meetings with people so you can kind of suss out, similarities and stories and things like that? So what's the Brendan Hall strategy, if you will, for HR Tech?
Yeah, so it's usually two analysts to a meeting. So I'll do most of my meetings probably with Kyle Lagunas or Molly Lombardi, maybe Trish too, Trish McFarland, who's, who she's doing an expert session and we'll have some overlap there.
Oh,
but it's
cool.
Great. Where we all get along so well, you know, it's a great team, very collaborative.
Yeah. Well, you know what people have, the word that people have used to describe Brenda Hall, and I think it's genius, is approachable. And I'm not disparaging anybody, any of the other analyst groups, because I think everyone has a role. But what I love about that is, that, you know, first of all, I can't remember who told me that, or I'd give them credit. But mm-hmm. what I love about that is every single one of y'all, from Ben to Trish to you, you're all approachable. I mean, it actually fits. Y'all are all nice people. You're also extremely competent, know the space and all that other stuff. But you're approachable, which I think is genius.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. That's a nice
right?
compliment. Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
It's a
welcoming community. Yeah, we should have t-shirts made.
So I want to dig in. Next thing I want to talk about is your research kind of agenda, your calendar. So we'll move away from HR Tech for a moment because, well, turns out you do more than just go to conferences. you actually do research. What does 15 look like if you already have it mapped out? Or just give the audience some insight into the things that you're trying to study and even why.
Yeah, so it's exciting. Since I've joined here, one role that I've taken on is creating some of our research products. So that's been exciting. So we're creating business builders, which are tools and research reports, a combination of our data and our research with an actual tool to help companies build a business case for different types of technology. So we're working on that. I just did one on video interviewing, and we'll do them all across the whole spectrum of HCM. So it's exciting to kind of think about new products. You know, we'll be doing ebooks and continuing with a lot of the infographics that we've been doing. I have a vendor news report that's coming out this month that kind of summarizes all the stories for the past month and puts it in context with some of the top trends. So that's exciting. But I have to say the one space that I've been covering a lot right now, and I'll continue to do so probably in the beginning of 2015, is employee recognition. And, you know, I think when we talk about employee engagement and how that's top of mind, this has been a really interesting space for me. So it's kind of a new area, and there aren't many providers that have strong product leadership, but there's a few, and they're doing some really cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really cool space. And you've got the mixture. You've got people that have been doing it for 30 years that kind of mm-hmm. come from the service wards space. And you've got people that are trying to draw a direct connect between performance and compensation and other kind of things inside of an organization. I look at Achievers and Global Force, and there's a bunch of them. Actually, Madison does some really good work. So it's like there's a yeah. cluster of these kind of newer school folks that approach the recognition from a different perspective, which I think is just that whole space is really kind of. Have you ever been to the Recognition Show? Has that ever been on your radar mm-hmm. to go to that conference?
No, you know, I'd love to go, but yeah, I'm familiar with it, but I've never been.
I accidentally went. So this is, of course, this is my life, right? I accidentally went a couple years ago because it was on the front end of HR Tech at McCormick.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
I was in Chicago from Sunday to Sunday or whatever, and so I saw that it was there, and I literally walked up, got a ticket, and went in, and they do. I mean, it was all the jewelry stores, and you know,
yeah,
more
yeah.
of the pure service awards and things like that. But they had recognition plays there as well, which was really interesting. But I love that space. I'm glad you're doing research there because I think there's a lot of murkiness. It's like outplacement. There's a lot of murky, cloudy stuff around outplacement, so I'm glad you're researching that space. I noticed the other day that y'all were having an event in, I believe, January. You're having your own, you know, the Brandon Hall Group event. Tell us, tell the audience a little bit about that. What's that about? What do you want to try to achieve with your own event, et cetera?
Yeah, so our Excellence Conference is in January. It's at the end of January in Fort Lauderdale, and it's exciting. It's exciting for me because it's very different than other conferences. It's very collaborative, so it's not your PowerPoint presentation conference. It's very interactive. It's kind of has an unconference feel to it. And it's really bringing together very top-level HR practitioners, learning practitioners, OD practitioners, together to talk about what their challenges are, what strategies that they're coming up with, and what tools that they're using. So we've got great panels. We've got a great list of attendees. And it's all sort of powered by our awards. The Brandon Hall Group does excellence awards for different areas of learning and talent, workforce management. We do technology awards. So, you know, we'll certainly be showcasing those awards at the conference, and a lot of our panelists will be award winners. So it's a great way to, you know, really talk about companies that are doing some great stuff and make connections. And it's in January, well, so you're kind of past the conference season. It's a good time to go.
Indeed. Well, Madeline, while you were talking about employee recognition, recognizing employees while social media channels, we know it drives transparency, trust, and feedback sharing and all that. So why do you think a social recognition is important than ever before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I think some people would even argue that all recognition is social. It's not just now all of a sudden become a new thing. But I think especially with the younger generation, they have different expectations from what they want from their employers. And certainly we live in this very social world where everything that we do can be shared on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. So to be able to show recognition from your employer to motivate you, to help you perform better, I think it's a very powerful tool, and it's almost becoming an expectation. And it speaks to, you know, companies that do it well, they create this culture of recognition. I think the one thing that's interesting, and I'd be curious what you both think about this, some companies, some providers really believe that social recognition should only be shared internally, not on your external, you know, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. And then there's others that believe that this is something that should be in both. So it's, you know, it's interesting. There's these two schools of thought.
It is. It is. While we were embracing social media, some other organizations are really scared and probably on the verge of skepticism in terms of trying social media. So other than that, you know, we talked about the social recognition, and you kind of touched a little bit about traditional recognition that normally happens in an organization. So how do they find a balance between both?
Yeah, and I think the balance is important. So I think you can't just sacrifice one for the other. But a lot of companies do. They find that they're doing the traditional, you know, emails or the perks that they might have, or even, you know, the post-it notes. I've certainly worked for companies that do a lot of post-it note recognition. But balancing that with a, you know, a solution and a system that's able to track it, to make it part of the culture, to make sure that it's something that managers have the resources that they need to recognize employees, that it becomes a little bit more systematic.
Yeah, to answer your question, I've given this a lot of thought, and my answer is both simple and complex. I think you need to meet people where they are. So I think the general fail in all of recruiting and HR is that we try to standardize. So, and of course, this is not going to help all my technology friends, but the thing about standards is what it creates is it creates a cookie-cutter approach for everyone. And HR likes standards so that they can apply the standard to everyone. The problem, the inherent fail in standards, is that it might fit for Madeline, but William might not like it. Or it might not work for Nisha because of whatever reason. So at the end of the day, the game really is meeting Madeline where she's at, meeting William where he's at, and meeting Nisha where she's at. And so it's a layer of personalization for me. And again, the simple and complex, meet people where they are. So I like public recognition. I want everyone to know how awesome I am. Yeah. Nisha's not like that. In fact, to do that actually creates her pain, creates pain for her. She's a private person. She wants to be recognized, but she wants to be recognized privately. So meeting, knowing, finding out what she likes and what drives her and et cetera, and then meeting her where she is, that's the game. Now, how do we do that? Oh, no, that's the complex part.
Right. I know, I know.
I don't have a great answer there, by the way.
No, that is a great point right there, William. It is totally true. And one thing is what employee values most that have to be clearly defined in a way how you recognize him. Because what I'm saying is like a baby boomer at an organization, what he values might be entirely different than what a millennial values, right? So this is where the manager comes in, how to get to know this person comes. And based on that, as you said, personalization or customization of reward and recognition goes. So, Madeline, while you were talking about the analyst part of HR in the beginning of our show, what are some of the trends that you see a talent acquisition professional should have their eye on in terms of analysts?
Yeah, so what, it's interesting. So I think there's a lot of interesting talent acquisition trends right now. And some of them we've been talking about for a long time. It's surprising to me that they're still hot topics because they almost seem passe at this point. But social talent acquisition and mobile really are two areas to me that are so important. We've been talking about them for almost 10 years. And there just hasn't really been a lot of best practices yet or technology that's really taken it to the next level. QSocial, I don't know if you're familiar with those guys, but they've just launched a new social talent acquisition solution that's really, really very innovative and creates what social talent acquisition should be for companies more than just broadcasting jobs. And there's, you know, companies that are doing great things with mobile too, finally. So I think we're starting to finally see some innovation and best practices now after so many years. There's a lot of different analytics solutions just for recruitment that are coming out that companies are pretty excited for. And then the recruitment marketing space is interesting to me because it's something that for so long companies just relied on agencies for, and there weren't a lot of solutions to support it. And it's not something that ATS systems do. So it's new. It's exciting. There's really cool solutions out there. And for companies, it's almost an immediate ROI. So that's pretty cool.
Well, that's a great segue to my next question about ROI. So what are some metrics and measurement that you would suggest to those talent acquisition professionals in terms of how can they do a better job of talent acquisition?
Yeah, so, it's changed a lot. Kyle Lagunas actually just did a lot of research on this, and it showed a trend that companies, and it's probably not a surprise to anyone that's listening in, aren't really focused on time and cost anymore. It's more of a focus on quality, productivity, candidate engagement, the candidate experience. So all of these things that we're talking about that might seem like buzzwords or something that's kind of a priority for anyone out there, it's very real for organizations. This is how they're measuring their talent acquisition efforts today.
Madeline, what's your take on the wonderful world of sourcing? I know you've studied this world, for 10 years at least. What do you see there? What's kind of hot? What should the audience be paying attention to in sourcing?
Yeah, it's interesting. Sourcing is so exciting, and it's there's so many solutions that seem to come out every couple weeks and doing some cool things. I mean, Monster made a big play by making some big acquisitions last year. Talentin was one of those. So, I think they still have some skin in the game for being a strong sourcing solution. But then there's other ones too. Intel is a great company. I think companies that are able to marry their sourcing solutions with employer branding have a huge advantage. And there's a lot more employer branding solutions that are out there. So, sourcing is so interesting. It's a crazy market. And it's a completely, I think what's interesting, aside from the technology, and William, you know this, it's how the sourcing professional is so different from the recruiting professional. I think so often we think they're the same thing, and it's a different animal.
Yeah, it's the difference. I try to describe it to people that don't know the space as sales and marketing. So
yeah.
you have the different personalities that thrive in those two wonderful silos. that's about
yeah.
the difference.
Yeah.
Similar enough to where they kind of speak the same language, yet they blame and hate each other just as much as, no, I'm just kidding. The CRM space is really kind of a compelling space. The folks at Telemetry and Smashfly and Avature has been dominant over there for a while. Who or what should we be looking for out of that space?
Yeah, so I think it is an interesting space, and those are great solutions. I think it's interesting to think when you're looking at CRM to make sure that there's other components to it. Like Smashfly has done a great job with positioning themselves as a recruitment marketing provider. So not only do they have the CRM, but they have the analytics, they've got mobile capabilities, they do everything, branding, you know, everything that you'd want on that front end of recruitment. You know, Telemetry the same way, and they've done most of it through acquisition. But, you know, I'd say it's, for CRM, the most powerful solutions are those that do more than just a traditional CRM would.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about the analytics side that you're keying in on is for the audience, this is where you spend money in advertising. So understanding if you spend $5,000 advertising on Facebook and you spend $1,000 in LinkedIn and your candidate flow comes from LinkedIn, well, then you can share that $5,000 spend, so there's a cost savings, but more appropriately, it's you're spending money in the right places. And for a long time, we didn't know where those places that kind of work to get candidate flow. So the analytics, whenever you're looking at any of these wonderful solutions, dig in to the analytics, because having an idea of where to make the bets is half the game, right?
Yeah, and it's you know, a game changer for companies. It's crazy. They can see where they're making, you know, spend, how much they're spending on, where they're wasting money. And a lot of them can eliminate, you know, unnecessary costs.
Right. All right. We've got 2 minutes left. So HR Tech, you've got 2 weeks till that. You're going to hopefully rest up a little bit, get your comfortable shoes on, the whole bit at HR Tech. Then what are you doing after to HR Tech? Do you have any other conference obligations or any other travel?
Yeah, so a little break for a couple of weeks, and then I will be at HR Evolution for the first time. So I'm very excited for that, and I think you'll be there.
I will. Matthew Stolick and I are doing a bit in the late afternoon, so hopefully come to that session, and we won't embarrass ourselves too much.
You guys will be great. It's my first year.
It'll be fun.
I'm excited.
Oh, it's a fantastic. They do a great job, and it's like a family gathering. So, I mean, it's a fun group of people. So anyone that can make it, it's November 7th, I believe, is the date in Dallas. If you can make it, I think there's some tickets left, so come to that. All right, Madeline. So we're going to roll out. How can people best follow you? Is Twitter the best place to follow you?
Yeah, usually Twitter, Matt Tarquin. So
that's MadTarquin, the @. If you could get that, folks. Give Madeline a look-see, look her up in LinkedIn, the whole bit. She's actually one of the gems of our space. Madeline, can't wait to see you in 2 weeks. And thanks to everyone for listening to Drive Through HR on this wonderful Tuesday. And we're going to roll out to a little happy. Thanks, Madeline.
Thanks, William. Thanks, Misha.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.